Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Up to 90.
How are you?
I'm good, Mrs. How are you?
Grand. I had burgers for dinner.
Homemade burgers?
No, they were just old Tesco burgers, but they were like delicious. I mean, sometimes I just get an ill hankering for burgers, and this is how bad it is, right? So Tommy didn't eat his burger. He just ate the bone and ate like other stuff, whatever. Myself and Shane had two burgers with a brioche bun. He didn't finish his second one because he's just like, oh Jesus, I'm so full. I had both my brioche burger buns with the burgers in them, and I actually ate Tommy's burger.
No, Emma, what's going on? Are you pregnant? What's happening?
No, not at all. I think I was just enjoying them so much. It had been a while since I'd had red meat, so I just got it into me. But like, honestly, now I'm still full. I'm just like drinking water, and I just have to be rolled into bed. I'd say I'll fall asleep within, like, not that I'm not tired right now, but you know that kind of way. I've eaten so much, I'd say I'll fall asleep in like 15 seconds flat or whatever.
Up to 90 with Emma and Julie.
But you know what? This is why, and I presume it was you and I that were talking about, but I was having a conversation with somebody recently, presumably you, maybe in the extra episode,
yeah,
where we were saying about how we are, like, I mean, I would probably be vegetarian or pescatarian maybe 80% of the time, but you don't want to put the label on yourself because there are times when you're like, I need a beef burger in my life.
No. I know.
It's your body just craves it.
Yeah, and I absolutely no regrets whatsoever. Like, may have some regrets over feeling slightly uncomfortable, but I've no regrets. So that's pretty much been the highlight of my day. I feel like it's kind of dragging a bit now, I have to say, the whole working from home, and it's just like all the days are just rolling into one another. But sure, look, we had plenty of that before fucking COVID-19 malarkey anyway. So, how are you anyway? I'm sure you have a lot more interesting shit going on.
There's nothing going on in my life. I was actually thinking, I was just thinking today, I was like, oh, I feel so bad because I genuinely have nothing to report because there's just nothing happening.
Oh, yeah.
I did my hypnobirthing class yesterday with Fred.
Oh, yeah.
The latest person, we got sent this video, and Noah Wiley, do you remember Noah Wiley? He was all about the hypnobirthing, so he did this new video with his missus about hypnobirthing, and I kept having to remind myself that Noah Wiley is not a real doctor.
Oh.
You know, especially when it's like kind of a medical thing.
Oh my God. Now I'm with you. Because the first when you were saying that, I was just like, who? Jesus, I remember when I was younger, he's one of those people like that. There was a period of time that I was convinced I was bad into him. And then all of a sudden you kind of just look at him going, what am I talking about? He's like a poor man's Keanu Reeves. Like, what?
Yeah. He is definitely a poor man.
He's grand. If he walked into Whelan's or something, which, like, Jesus, my head wouldn't turn, but I was like, yeah, he's a grand looking fellow. Or if your mate rocked up with him on her arm, you'd be like, he seems like a nice, decent fella.
Like a nice guy. Yeah, and she'd be there.
Nothing to get excited about, like.
He'd be in his suit. And he'd have the raincoat on over the suit, like kind of anorak.
He'd have the tie in the pocket.
Yeah, and she'd be saying, "I just don't know, am I feeling it?" And you're like, "No, look, he's a nice guy. Come on, you always go for the married ones. Like, give this guy a chance. He's texting you back." So that's the buzz with Noah Wiley. But it is funny because I instantly went into. Like Fred was like, "Who is that? He looks very familiar." And I was like, "Oh no, we can trust him. Like, he's a doctor. Like, he is a trained medical professional." But it is gas how all those years, I do know deep down that he's not medically qualified.
Yeah.
But suddenly, I was like, "Okay, now hypnobirthing has the seal of approval." Like, I was a little bit dubious about. Breathing the baby out of me. But one of the hot tips yesterday was to start practicing, like, just obviously as a bit of a preempt, to start practicing breathing poo out of yourself. So I was like, oh, minus the pushing, that should be interesting, because obviously we're constipation city at the moment. But Fred is killing it with breathing out the poo, which has me completely raging.
Oh my god.
He is breathing out the poo, not a bother on him. He is a changed man. No requirement for pushing. I was like, for feck's sake. But yeah, so did the hypnobirthing class. We managed to stifle the giggles. You know, when it's only the two of you in a Zoom class.
Yeah.
You're just impressing no one. But, like, you know, the video's like, "Hey, little baby, I want you so bad." Like, this kind of, it's all about butterfly kisses. But once you look beyond that, it's grand. And I did make the point, because, you know, which is never said as a compliment when you say something's a bit American. Fred was like, "It's a bit American, is it?" And you're like, "Yeah, I mean, it is American, but I guess that's just because it's still maybe a bit new here. That, like, in 10 years' time, you'll have pictures of myself and Fred in the paddling pool."
Jeez, are you going to do a pool?
Well, Fred's mad to the paddling pool.
But then he has to be the fisherman. So
it's this thing of, like, from what I've seen, nobody has enough room in the pool. Like, it's like, you know, when I was going to say, you know, when you're in a jacuzzi, but like, I have been in a jacuzzi maybe twice in my life. But, you know, you're there, you're having a nice time, and then suddenly you squeeze, somebody comes along, there's not quite enough room for that extra person. And the experience is ruined. Like, it's all just lads. I mean, they're not even in their togs, Emma. They're just, like, taking off their T-shirt and jumping in.
No, for me now, I know I've heard that it's amazing, whatever. But the thing about the pool is,
I don't think I could do the pool. To be honest, Fred's into it, but I don't think it's
But does he realise that that is just, like, it's going to not look like water?
Yeah, I think it's the murkiness of it which I would find off-putting.
Every time you have a contraction, there's going to be shit coming out of you, and that's going to be in the pool.
Actually, do you know what was kind of funny last week? So myself and Fred rarely fight. But last week, I don't know what happened. You know when you're just kind of gunning for an argument for no reason?
Hello, look who you're speaking to. Go on, anyway.
But, yeah, so, I mean, it just, like, there was, I don't know what was going on with me, but I was lying in bed, and Fred had been on a Zoom, and he was doing this kind of Zoom thing with some of the comedians. So, like, I think Carol Spain, Barry Murphy were a couple of the comedians doing this Zoom quiz with the general public. So he came into me, and whatever he said anyway just set me off. And so next thing, I'm shouting. Now, I shouted first, which is very rare because I usually don't shout. Passive-aggressive is my default position.
Mm.
But I did go full-on shout, full-on high-pitched. I'd nearly say a scream between you, me, and the wall. Fred then came back because, of course, if you were screaming, the other person isn't going to come back to you with a whisper. So we're a couple of F-offs thrown at each other, a slam door, and then we realised that the Zoom was unmuted.
Oh my god.
And you know when you're gone full on girl interrupted.
What was it about though? Are you jealous of Fred's popularity within the comedy community?
No, I showed him a TikTok video and I said, do you think that's too shit to put up?
Oh, Jesus, and this again.
And he basically said, yeah.
This is where all your fights start with everyone. I know.
It always comes back to TikTok, doesn't it, really? But that's where Vogue Williams initially started on me. So, like, it's contentious for me as a medium, TikTok. But, like, I don't know, is there any coming back for me? I think I'm done in comedy now. Because, you know, when you're allowed, maybe, you know, I like to think when you're pregnant, you're allowed to
Let me see now. He was in the middle of a Zoom call and you went in going, what do you think of this TikTok video?
No, I was in the next room having a lie down, doing the thing of, you know, you're propped up on a couple of pregnancy pillows. Finally have worked out how to work the fucking pregnancy pillow, by the way. 6 YouTube videos later, turns out you just lie on the thing. So I'm on the pregnancy pillow, like doing the whole Victorian woman. I just spent 4 hours doing this TikTok. And then Fred said something like, oh, the lip sync's a bit off, is it? And I was like, well, fuck you too. But it was in the next room, so the two doors were wide open. So effectively, you're in the same room.
Oh, Jesus.
But anyway, so look, what I'm saying is it's done. Like, I mean, like, you know, I can't, there's no coming back from this. Like, when they hear you at your full-on girl interrupted moment, there's no coming back.
But I just don't understand why you keep showing Fred videos you want to post on social media and I keep expecting him to go, that's the best thing I've ever seen in my life.
I know. I think
he's not your audience. Why do you keep fucking asking him?
No, this is true. And to be honest, then he was very good because he sat and let me put a wig on him the next day and I did a fake hairdressing video with him. But like, he's just such a good egg. It wasn't about him. I just needed to tell someone to F off. I really didn't want Cara Spain and Barry Murphy and just the general public on an open quiz hearing this.
Fuck's sake.
Anyway, so what I'm saying is just be careful. If somebody has a laptop in the room,
Be careful. You have to these days. Oh, come here, did I tell you I am actually, it's being confirmed that I am the Rob Kardashian of my family.
Oh, no, but somebody has to be Emma. Well, it's not going to be Simon,
no,
is it?
No, we see, this is the issue.
Together.
So for anyone that doesn't know, I have 2 older brothers who are much closer in age, and their names are Stephen and Simon. So when I was younger, I always kind of felt left out that I didn't get an S name. I mean, every fucking second girl in the country was called Sarah. Anyway, they might as well, but no.
Oh, so many Sarahs floating around.
No, so from the get-go, I always felt a bit left out. So, roll back the clock. What are we talking now? 7 years ago, when my dog got impregnated by a Jack Russell. So I was pregnant, my dog was pregnant, I had Joe, and then like 3 weeks later, my dog Twiggy gave birth. And we thought she was a small dog. She'd have small pups. She had 5 pups. We kept one. My parents took one. We found homes for the others. But it was obviously very chaotic. And I was getting woken up by the pups rather than the newborn baby. Like, it was just mad. But anyway, so I had the 2 brothers there. But the brothers were not interested in having a puppy. So obviously you cannot push a puppy on somebody. You know what I mean? People want a puppy or they don't. You can only let them know that you have puppies available. Fast forward to now, both my brothers in the last couple of weeks have gotten puppies. King Charles Cavalier puppies.
No.
Yes, Julie. And the puppies.
Are you saying breeder?
Judy, the puppies are fucking brothers as well.
Oh, Emma, left out in the cold once more.
So my brothers have puppies who are brothers. And I'm over the other side with my name begin with E and my mongrel. My slutty mongrel who couldn't keep her legs closed.
You're right. Twiggy likes it loose. But I just feel, I mean, that's a hard cross to bear.
Isn't it?
Well, I'd say, I mean, I don't know what I say Rob Kardashian, but maybe Khloe. Like, you know, you're not completely ostracized. Like, you know, they let you sit in for a picture every once in a while. Like, Rob is the one, they're like, can you just, like, take one from above?
And I'm using the Kardashians because when I saw Simon there the other week, he actually listens to the podcast and he's like, oh yeah, what's not to love? Constant references from two albums I know nothing about. He's like,
I think that should be your bio.
And then he just throws his hands up and kind of goes, oh, the Kardashians. So that's why I've used that reference, so he won't be able to figure it out.
Well, you see, what I like about the Kardashians is you're only 2 degrees of separation away from a Kardashian ever. Like, no matter what you're talking about in terms of pop culture, you can always bring it back to a Kardashian. And that's why we do have the eternal graph of them. But that is shit. Fuck that.
Yeah.
I'd say the pup is so cute as well, are they?
Yeah, I've only actually met Simon's pup. I have to go and see Stephen. But, like, so cute. And, like, I knew the dog was going to be, like, I'd seen the picture, so I knew that the pup was going to be cute and whatever. But, like, his name's Teddy. His little face, oh my God, and so small. And then Ella was petting him and she left the hall to go into the sitting room and he started doing this little bark because he wanted her to stay. Oh my God, too cute. Very cute. But still, I've been left out in the cold. I don't know how to explain to my dad now that he's Caitlin.
Oh. Would he be, I suppose he'd have to be Caitlin, really, wouldn't he? Rob Kardashian Senior is long gone.
Yeah.
Hello, OJ. Like, I mean, that's, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, no. I think, yeah, no, he'd have to be Caitlin. And then your mom, I mean, your mom could rock a bit of a Chris, I'd say.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to pitch that to RT and we'll get all the characters sorted out. And I don't know whether Stephen will be Kim or whether Simon, I don't know yet, but I'll see who has the bigger arse.
Everyone will have to have their roles, yeah. I actually...
one of them's going to have to put out the sex tape anyway, is what I'm saying, so... At least that won't be left to me.
From somewhere, yeah. I was talking to a friend of mine today and she reminded me that years ago, she actually was on the Bosco set as a child. Speaking of A-list celebrities, we're just going to drop the B word, Bosco, here.
Real cash.
But I was like, I cannot believe I never knew this about you, that you were on the Bosco set. She was like, yeah, like, Mam was doing X, Y, and Z. And I, anyway, came along and I was on the Bosco set and she found the magic door. Do you remember the magic door?
Yes, of course.
And, do you remember, and just to remind everyone that, oh, knock, knock, open wide, see what's on the other side. Knock, knock anymore, come with me through the magic door. So she did all that and she walked through the magic door and on the other side was a cameraman sitting on a crate having a fag.
Right.
And I just think, isn't that so... It's so symbolic of an Irish childhood, isn't it? Like, they sell you a magic door, but really all that's on the other side is some lad sitting on a crate. It's the 80s, probably severely underpaid, having a fag indoors with the tash. Like, I mean, the story could have ended so much worse, but she was like,
oh my God. Like, well, you'd say to Mick, you say, Mick, can we start filming again? And Mick be like, my break's not finished yet. You can talk to the union if you have a problem.
Yeah.
And they're very hungry. Getting onto the union again, thanks.
But I mean, that's the end of an era, isn't it, for anyone in terms of their childhood?
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to tell me she opened the door and on the other side was the zoo, because it was always the fucking zoo anyway.
The owl zoo. I thought that was fairly symbolic now, to be honest. Speaking of the Kardashians, did you ever watch The Real Housewives of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills?
No, I only watched bits and pieces of those cat. Real. Yeah, but it would totally be up my street. I just never.
Oh yeah.
Never caught at the right time.
I watched a few episodes now in the last couple of weeks, but I've had to stop because it's just constantly revolving around conflict. And I feel myself, I actually get really tense watching these. Like, I've decided to throw a tea party. I know Taylor isn't speaking to Camille, but I just think it'd be good to get everyone together. Like, it's just constantly these orchestrated luncheons and events where everyone starts losing their shit. And it's always like, somebody saying, you know, I don't like confrontation, but I just think you're a bitch. And then, you know, like, it's like, you know, cut the credits. So you're in the next episode. You want to see what's happening.
Yeah.
But it's just so great, great. But I didn't realize until I started watching it that two of Paris Hilton's aunts are in it.
Oh.
So that's like, that made it extra interesting for me. But no more than that, it's like with the Kardashians, it's, you know, it's orchestrated and all the rest, but it's just so. I mean, just the constant level of insidious conflict is just wearing.
Yeah. Do you think that's why you shouted at Fred the other night?
I think I've actually been watching too much, as Fred calls it, Desperate Housewives, but Real Housewives.
I think that's what happened, Jen.
Oh, but it is all that, like, I'm a really sweet person, but I just think she's jealous of me, and I've had that my whole life. Like, you know, this kind of thing where you're like, oh my God, I like, if I was in that situation, I'd definitely be throwing the afternoon tea in her face. Like, it's just so passive aggressive from start to finish. And Kelsey Grammer's wife in the first season.
Oh, yeah.
Insane. She's like, I want to be judged for me. It's time for me now. And then every sentence, it's like, Kelsey, Kelsey, Kelsey. And I did have a moment, I was like, oh sure, I'm probably like this with Fred. But like, no more than that, she's constantly saying, you know, I am with like probably one of the most famous men in the world. I mean, like, was Kelsey Grammer that famous?
Yeah, he was, because if you think about it, like Cheers and then Frasier.
I wonder
like, he would have been fairly famous. Like, he wouldn't, I'd say he could go anywhere in the world and people would recognize him and want to have their picture taken with him. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, well, I guess, do you know what? I suppose when you factor in Cheers, I forgot about Cheers as well. Yeah.
Like, I'm sure as the years go on, there's less and less people stopping to ask and they get a picture. Because it's not like Ella, like, she wouldn't have a fucking breeze who he was or whatever. But like, if my dad saw him now, he'd be like, oh my God. Not like, oh my God, like starstruck, but he'd be well fucking impressed, like. Because obviously
Caitlin would be impressed.
Caitlin would be impressed, but, you know.
No, but I would recommend it for a bit of trash. It's great.
Oh, lovely, yeah.
I presume you did. The whole, I mean, it was a funny old week, wasn't it, for all the shows being kind of reassessed in light of what's happening at the moment, and the likes of Keith Lemon and Little Britain having to apologise for previous sketches, etc., and ultimately, like, these things being cancelled. I mean, I, like, my thing with Keith Lemon, this is probably controversial, but I was never a massive Keith Lemon fan anyway. I just never really got it, I feel like. The whole Bo Selecta thing, I never really got it completely. But I mean, I just can't believe, for me anyway, when you look at like these characters and like the blackface, I just can't believe that was happening in the noughties. I mean, were people still thinking that was okay?
Yeah, well, I think like, the characters, although I did see Trisha talking about when she saw...
Yeah, that was powerful, wasn't it?
Yeah. And fairness, but the one he did of Mel B was not an impression of Mel B. It was...
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, Mel B was like... it was like ridiculous. Like, I mean, you couldn't have said, if you shown it to anybody, like nobody would have ever gotten it. The only thing that the Mel B character had was a leopard print dress.
Okay.
But yeah, like the, what you call it, I saw all the stuff about Little Britain, and I saw Matt Lucas come out and kind of like apologize on Twitter, and people replying like, oh, there's no need to apologize. And then people reminding the white people who were saying, don't worry about it, you're hilarious. It's like he wasn't actually apologizing to you. But
you know what? And it's kind of like, to be fair to Matt Lucas, he did say previous to all this, when he was asked in an interview, yes, if you could go back to Little Britain, like, how do you think it dates? And he did say, he was like, I wouldn't do the trans jokes and I wouldn't do the blackface. Like, he actually said this previous. That
yeah,
he,
but you see, like, even, like, because I remember when it was on, and I think we said this before, like, that, you know, the nature of sketch shows is very few people are going to buy into all of the sketches. Most people have like one or two characters within the sketch show that they enjoy. I mean, to be honest with you, there wasn't really that much in that that I liked. Only Gay in the Village, no. Your man Bitty, no. Fucking disgusting. The Prime Minister's assistant, fucking awful.
Well, I loved Lou and Andy. They were my favourite.
Yeah, I liked those two, but that was about it. But then I think on that thread as well, people kind of... some woman I saw whose daughter was in a wheelchair is like, you made like what was already a difficult situation.
Because
people think, now I don't think people saw that character and it kind of reminded them that there was people trying to work the system and pretend that they were disabled. I don't think that's like what that was all about. But it's funny because there was actually, I think even when it came,
both know people who faked disabilities down through the years. But sure enough, that's
like... It was different back then. It was just for a bit of crack. But
to be fair, that was like 2018. Like, that was a totally different time.
Yeah.
We didn't know any better.
But from what I remember is that there was a good bit in that show at the time that felt fairly questionable. And it wasn't even just like, I couldn't say that I was looking at these things and saying that this is insensitive to whatever group or whatever, but I just remember thinking that a lot of the stuff was just like,
it wasn't funny,
but it was kind of like, it was a bit like distasteful, really. And I know that's such an L one thing to say, but it was kind of controversial-ish, but it wasn't marketed as controversial at all.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, I suppose, well, sure, we're always referencing the noughties, like, in relation to how much has changed since then.
Yeah.
And I know now, like, as in Twitter, even before I came on, I just said I did a quick look at Twitter and searched for Little Britain.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, obviously it was relentlessly negative in the sense that it was like, oh, you know, people are just a bunch of snowflakes, and like there was nothing wrong with these sketches. And I mean, it comes back to like no more than Matt Lucas apologizing and all these, you know, Whitey McWhiters and saying, ah, you're grand, like, we think you're great. It's completely missing the point. Like, actually, Dave Chappelle, I don't know if you watched his special, 8:46 this week.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even say it's a comedy special, but I mean, like, Dave Chappelle is just, I don't think he's ever said something that I've disagreed with my whole life. I just adore him. And, like, I mean, who doesn't? That doesn't make me special. I think everyone loves Dave Chappelle.
These are kind of living parallel lives, basically. Like, so.
I mean, there's a lot in common there, is what I'm saying. But he did say at one point, he was like, white women, you need to shut the fuck up. But there is an element of that sometimes, not just relation to, like,
Judy,
you know,
our brand. That's kind of our brand.
But it's kind of like, it's, you know, looking beyond, like, say, you know, white women, but like just white people in general. Like, the last few weeks, I have just cringed with some of the stuff that like white people have been voicing their opinion on, like completely missing the point, inserting themselves into the narrative. I mean, don't get me started on the bloody "that celebrity, I take responsibility" video. I know the sentiment is good. The sentiment is, you know, probably a positive thing, but it just comes off so performative.
Yeah, well, it's kind of, I don't know, it's just like,
the intent is good, and look, the worst thing you can say,
but just, yeah, I suppose it's nothing. Not everything is, it's not everything is kind of being put out there to find out people's opinions. Sometimes yeah. things are just like put out there, this is the latest on this. Shouldn't, like,
and also, I mean, sometimes just listening is, you know, maybe a good thing to do in these situations. Like, I mean, well, now say with, for example, the, you know, the few bits that I did read, I didn't read too much on the whole, like, Little Britain thing, etc. Yeah. But I was reading up on Gone with the Wind. So I you know, obviously I was one of the first, that I suppose, TV items that got removed. So HBO took that down. But you know what they're doing, which I actually think is a great, I think this is actually a really good solution.
Yeah.
So they're putting it back on, but they're going to have a black historian speak at the start to give this film some context. And I was like, I actually think that's really good. So you can still watch the film, but like it's within the context of, just so you know, like this film is essentially like glorifying the buying and selling of humans, but like enjoy the movie. But yeah. I think that's actually good. What do you think of something like that?
Yeah, I think that's good. You see, I think, yeah, if I think that's...
I think it's probably a bit more complicated with these sketch shows, you see, because something like Gone with the Wind is just so, it's so uncomfortable to watch because there's so much that like you have to ignore as a viewer yeah. in terms of what's going on. But like, the one thing I will say in Keith Lemon's defence, like with the whole Beau Selecta, I mean, I do think like the Trisha Goddard character was just appalling, I thought, like in terms of...
And like, as far as I can remember, I think that was done in later years. Like, because that show...
Oh, you could be right, yeah.
That show ran for a good while. But I think that character was done in later years.
Yeah. And do you know what? She could be right on that. But I know now you did reference it as well. But I think what got me was when she was saying that, like, it felt so racial. Like, you know, she talked about, like, you know, the big lips, the big white hips, the reference to rice and peas. And she said it was all the things that every child, black child, has been bullied about.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That really got me. I was like, oh, I mean, like, in saying that, like, with the likes of the Michael Jackson character, I think Michael Jackson is so beyond the realm of satire that I wouldn't have found, say, the Michael Jackson caricature as offensive. But again, it's not about, like, what I think or I feel. But certainly, like, the Trisha Goddard one, I just thought was, like, appalling. And then even seeing the pictures of David Walliams blacked up. Like, I mean, I don't remember this character in Little Britain, but it's...
No, and again, you see, I think that was later on.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't when Little Britain was at its height, I wouldn't think.
Both shows, in different ways, what they did was... that they had gone through all the characters that, say, they would have developed over years. So, like, you know yourself, like, it's the same kind of principle that, like, when you go up and do 20 minutes and somebody comes up to you after the gig and go, oh, that was amazing. Are you on anywhere tomorrow night? I'm heading out with family. And you're like, you may fuck off because it's going to be the exact same thing. Yeah. People don't realise how long it takes to get, like, you know, a really deadly polished 20 minutes. But like that with people that do characters, they have like solid characters that are their go-to characters. And I think that they had done all the characters that they had, and all the other people in the show were playing supporting roles. So that instead of trying to develop new characters, all they did was they just did characters – of a different race, and they kind of thought that that was good enough.
Yeah, I mean, and I actually,
and that
I
somehow Dash was doing a character.
Yeah, that this is enough of a stretch, and like, isn't this so ridiculous? And rather than actually focus on developing the character itself, I mean, do you know what it is? It's just, I just think it's to say it's a cheap joke is giving it too much credit, because I mean, I'm sure you're the same. Like, when I saw the photo of David Walliams in full blackface, I just found it really repulsive.
Yeah, but I think I definitely, like, because there would have been loads on that show, I would have, like, it would have turned my stomach. And I think I remember seeing that, and I say,
like, the bitty bit and all that.
Oh, fucking hell. Like, it's just fucking stupid. But, yeah, I don't even know who their characters were meant to be or what was the dealio, but it definitely wasn't funny, put it that
like,
way.
Well, I would have, I mean, I thought the bitty thing was funny-ish, you know, I could sit through it, but I mean, not in the same way, like, you know, if you compare, like, you know, in more recent times, I suppose if you compare to the likes of Father Ted, like, it's so not at that level of really nuanced satire.
Yeah, and you see, I think it's different when a character's ignorance or whatever is the thing that's being mocked. Like, that's different.
Yes, and that was very much at the heart of Father Ted. So it was like, whether it was the ignorance of the church or...
And they're the butter, like, of the joke.
Like, yeah, or it was the ignorance of, like, white liberals. Like, they actually did mock that considerably in Father Ted, really.
Yeah, and so, like, yeah, if the kind of... the ignorant person, or their ignorance is the butt of the joke, then, I mean, it's completely fine as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. And I think, but then you see, it comes back to, and I know we have said this on a few occasions, but it does come down to, I think, like, punching down or punching up. That, like, when you do see these cheap gags, and, you know, I suppose with the benefit of hindsight, like, you look back now, like, neither you or I would have necessarily been fans of these shows at the time. But you look back now and you're like, well, clearly now that has not aged well, and it's really problematic. But what's even more problematic would be all these people saying, oh, but you're what? Like, are we going to have to cancel everything now? Like, these kind of statue protectors.
Yeah.
Type, but I think you were like, oh, this is, you can't remove a whole canon of work.
Yeah, and I think, like, in fairness to all the creators or whatever, they just said, yeah, it's, you know, prefer if we were able to, like, they've acknowledged it or whatever. So I think at least, I don't know. It's very hard to know if that's kind of, if that's enough, but you're like,
I suppose, like, what else can they do now, really?
Yeah,
I mean, but then it comes back to, should you remember Justin Trudeau, the Canadian Prime Minister? Should you remember, he photos emerged of him doing blackface at something
fuck's sake
a few years ago, and, like, no more than that.
What,
like,
about probably Harry and the old Nazi costume?
Just, oh my god, was just about to say, like, Harry dressing up like as a nasty boy.
You're another website,
the nasty boys. But, like, do you know what, again, it comes from, like, and, like, I say this fully aware that, like, I am basically translucent, like, I am as white can be. But it just makes me cringe, like, looking at these people. It's always this specific sense of humour which is coming from such a place of privilege. And it's just, it's so cringeworthy that people don't see how, by doing these things, they're really exposing, obviously, their own ignorance, but also the limits of their own experience.
Yeah.
That they can't see how this would hurt someone. I mean, even all these people on Twitter saying, oh, what next? We'll have to be getting rid of Coronation Street. You're like, no, I think depicting Trisha Goddard in that way is it's beyond the realms of like what's comedically acceptable. And like race, I mean, has like it's just such a low blow to kind of build something, whether it's a sketch character or anything else, and it's all built around like race. And actually there was a great interview with Dave Chappelle on Oprah, so like I'm literally like creaming my knickers here, so it's like my the two favorites. But I remember years ago, do you remember he had the Dave Chappelle show, and remember he went MIA?
Yeah, he left basically. Yeah,
he just failed. He just was like, fuck this. He'd been offered the biggest TV contract like in the history of TV, and he was like, no, I'm actually gonna just go MIA. And he just went off, didn't even tell his wife where he was. He rang his brother to say he was okay. And just hung up. But he came back, and on that Oprah he talked about, because you know, obviously the Dave Chappelle show was built around satire. It was all about satire. And a lot of it was very racialized. And he said that there was a moment on set where he was doing something, and it was some sketch. And he said that he heard a white person on set laugh. And he was like, whatever way that person laughed, it just really unnerved me. That he suddenly thought, what am I doing? That, like, am I actually perpetuating like some of these things by, I'm trying to be satirical here, but it felt like that person wasn't laughing in a satirical way.
Yeah.
And Oprah was like, I totally get it. And he was like, that's when I had to bail on the whole thing. But it is that it's such a sensitive area, but I feel somebody coming from a place of white privilege like has no business trying to crack that nut, like, you know, trying to do something that is based on race, satirically speaking. I mean, it's different the likes of Dave Chappelle doing it, but even he was saying that he was uncomfortable doing it towards the end.
What I would say to you now is, a couple of weeks ago we were all over Frankie Boyle, and now it's Dave Chappelle.
Oh, well, you know, now, I love to see him in his new face mask today.
I know, but Judy, I think if you're going to be kind of kissing up to celebrities and comedians, we can't be moving up the ranks. We've got to move down. We've tried Frankie. We haven't cracked him yet. We don't move on to Dave Chappelle. We bring it back a notch.
But look, do you know Frankie's what I mean? Trying to get the Instagram up as well. Like, is there's he? So much in common.
You've been banned from mentioning that word.
You know I have an obsession, a weekly obsession. So this week it's back. I'm back on Dave Chappelle.
What's going to be next week?
Sure, who knows? That's not how I live my life, Emma. Who knows who I'll be obsessed with next week? I mean, it could be fucking Carl Spain, for all we know. Barry Murphy. Who's to say? But do you know, I just thought that was interesting.
I saw the interview. I remember watching it. And, he's definitely a person of integrity and, you know, a strong belief system, and you have to admire him from that, because it's not, I mean, like, I can imagine if you are given let's just say if you put it in the context of your own life, and you're given the chance to do some yoke, and like it's a massive break, but you don't know if you're ever going to get a break again or what the fuck, and you're like, you're getting nice money and you have a family and stuff, and people seem to be enjoying it and it's doing well, like, why the fuck wouldn't you do it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
would you just like push the little voice down and just keep trucking?
But I think, like, watching, I mean, I'm sure most people have watched that interview, but I do think just that moment when he talked about how he felt when that person on set laughed, it kind of made me realise, and I just thought back to this week in terms of, like, the Little Britain and stuff, that, like, you know, you can sympathise all you want, but, like, as a white person, you can't empathise.
Yeah.
You know, like,
and I suppose if a joke or whatever leaves it too much open to interpretation, or not interpretation, but like it leaves it open that different people can you know, take that up how they want. And if one person's finding it funny because it's satire, and another person is finding it funny because they're laughing at, you know, laughing in a bigoted way, then that's kind of a bit of a serious issue, then, yeah. Isn't it?
And I think, I just think as a whitey McWhiterson, so yeah. As a white person, like when he talked about that feeling of just feeling so uncomfortable with how that person laughed, obviously feeling that they were kind of laughing at the situation rather than with the situation.
Yeah.
It just made me realize, like, God, I don't have a clue. Like, you know, who am I to give my opinion on any of this stuff? Because it's just, again, it's just trying to insert yourself into something that, like, you can't possibly understand how that would feel.
Yeah, I know. We must do another Up to 90 Zoom party now soon as well.
Oh, yes. I was thinking that we're kind of nearly due a Zoom, are we?
Yeah, we are nearly.
Would we say this week or next week? Next week?
Maybe next week. Give us a chance to think of a format and stuff and chat to people.
But we had a few ideas. So what we'll do is we'll put up the extra. I just was laughing there looking at something for Celebrity Big Brother. Do you remember the David is Dead moment?
Oh, Jesus, classic.
Oh, funny, what a classic. But if we do for the extra episode this week, we'll throw it up. And I think you were saying, Emma, which was a great idea, because we had some ideas about different things we could do in the Zoom party.
Yeah.
So we'll let people comment and vote on that under the extra episode this week.
Yeah, perfect, yeah.
And then we can have it all planned for next week.
Yeah, deadly. Let's do that.
Okay, fantastic.
Okay, thanks for listening. Yeah, lovely chatting to you.
I want to go up through my magic door and see, can I bring out this number two?
Oh, Jesus. I want to thank people for supporting us.
Oh, of course. Yeah, very good.
Thanks very much. But the people that haven't, I mean, just like, what do you want from people?
No words. No, thank you so much. It means so much. I meant to give a shout out to 10 Patreons. I'll do that next week. I'll throw in a couple of extras because I don't have my list in front of me. But genuinely, means loads to us. It's a dream come true when we see people signing up, and it actually just is fantastic. So thanks so much for throwing us the few, Bob. We really appreciate it. I've been Julie J.
I've been Emma Dorn. God bless.
This podcast is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.